dollars. If you go to Israel, you can use your dollar in the tourist areas, but if you leave that area, you're going to have to go get some exchange for your dollar. Am I making sense to you? And just as Christmas times, when somebody buys you that dress, ladies, it's a beautiful dress. It's just one difficulty. It's not the size that you can fit in. Amen? I'm not going to go there. I'm going to leave that alone. I feel my wife looking at me. Amen. And we got to take it back to the store, and we have to exchange it for a different size. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Last year, I was in a larger suit than what I am in now. And I had to, you know, you get those suits on sale. So I took my suits back to the store, and I told them they still got the tags on them, but I need to exchange them because I can no longer fit in that suit. I need to downsize. And the gentleman says, we'll downsize you, Pastor, no problem. I had to exchange. Well, in this text this morning, in John chapter 10, understand that Jesus Christ exchanged his life for ours.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Jesus says that I am the good shepherd, and I die for my sheep. Is it not supposed to be the other way around? Is it not supposed to be the fact that we should be the ones who are laying our lives down for him, but instead he is laying his life down for us? Isn't it supposed to be that Jesus says they were not only, Jesus saying that he wants us who are the sheep of this fold, he wants us to be changed in order that we might receive the benefits of the Father in heaven. Say amen.
Amen.
And so Jesus, in this gospel text, in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, what I'm going to focus on, says something here that is profound, and I want us to get it. It says here that the shepherd becomes expendable. The shepherd offers himself that the sheep might live. It's the wonder of what we are dealing with in this gospel. The Holy One lays down his life in the place of those who do not deserve it. The Jesus comes and he lays down his life in order that our sins might be forgiven. We must understand that we are helpless on our own. Amen. We are helpless on our own. Philip Keller was a sheep rancher, and in his book, he says this: a shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm, and he says that the sheep, they require more attention than any other livestock in the world. They just can't take care of themselves. Unless the shepherd makes them move, unless he makes them move on, unless the sheep will actually ruin a pasture. Are you with me? They will eat every blade of grass down to the dirt until finally a fertile pasture is nothing but a barren land. Sheep are nearsighted, and sheep are very stubborn, but easily frightened. An entire flock can be stamped out by one small rabbit. They have little means of defense. They're timid. They're feeble creatures. The only recourse is to run if no shepherd is there to protect them. Sheep have no homing instincts. A dog, a horse, a cat, or a bird can find its way home. But when a sheep gets lost, hear me, it's a goner. Unless somebody rescues that sheep. So for the overriding principle of Psalms 21, it is that the sheep cannot make it without a shepherd. And I'm going to get in y'all business. Jesus said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that he has poured the gift of shepherding into some folk. And he says, I cannot be with you, but I'm going to send you a shepherd to be over you. Are you with me? And he said, to some of you, you have the gift of shepherding. To some of you, I will give you the gift of teaching. To some of you, I will give you the gift of healing. Are you with me, church? He says, I cannot do everything at this moment, but I can do it through you. And so, Trinity Church, he says, I am your shepherd, and I will be your shepherd. But in order that I might take care of your immediate needs, I'm sending you Pastor Freeman. Are you with me? And this ain't about Pastor Freeman. This is about the office of the shepherd. Amen. It ain't about Bob. It's about the shepherd. But Jesus says that I am the good shepherd and the sheep know my voice. And so that means that if Bob Freeman is hearing that Jesus is his shepherd, then Bob Freeman will get direction from the, amen, from the shepherd. And if Bob Freeman is communicating that to the congregation, then the congregation ought to hear something from God. And it's not about Bob Freeman. It's all about the shepherd. You see, the shepherd is saying, Pastor Freeman, I want you to lead your people. I want you to lead the Trinity people to a place where they need to go, but I need you to preach this sermon. But I said, Jesus, I can't preach that sermon. He says, Bob Freeman, I want you to preach. But then, listen to me now. You got to follow me now. In Ezekiel 37, you can look it up, Ezekiel 37, it says that the congregation or the people who hear the voice of God coming through the prophet, the shepherd. And when the people of God become obedient to that voice that's coming through that prophet, that shepherd, then God says, I will bless the church beyond what you've ever had. That's Ezekiel 37. Are you with me? Now listen to this, guys. You got to stay with me. The first thing we must understand is that the sheep must realize that they are sheep. Hello? Come on, y'all. The first overriding principle is that sheep gotta realize that you're sheep. Amen? I don't care what you do. They were showing me on the television the other day. There was a gentleman who had a horse. They put a wig on this horse and tried to make it look like a woman. And I said, it still looks like a horse to me. Amen? You see, when God looks at us, when we look at each other, we got to understand it's nothing but sheep. We don't know how to treat each other right. We nothing but sheep. We don't know how to do God's will. We nothing but sheep. All we know to do is follow. Hello? That's why in East St. Louis, you had some preachers come through town all about them. Hello? And you got folk following them instead of following the Lord. And then when they left town, the folks said, what happened? Y'all know what I'm, am I right? You see, we all are sheep. We're all are equal. We're all in this thing together. It's not about one person being better than the other. I mean, you might be a slimmer sheep than some of us. That's fine. But let me tell you something. You can weave it, you can turn it, you can bleach it, you can do whatever you got to do with it, but you're still sheep. And you can't do it by yourself. I don't need no man. That's not even biblical. Where that came from? You don't need a man. If you don't need a man, then you didn't need Adam. Come on, y'all. You need the man who is God in order that God might strengthen you. Well, you got to be careful how you say stuff. Well, you know, let me tell you something. That's why, sheep must realize they're sheep. Amen. Amen. But second of all, sheep need a good shepherd. Jesus said there's some shepherds who climb in into the church and they pretend like they are shepherds. And as soon as trouble comes, they gone. Are you with me? You got folk that say, I want to be your pastor. I want to be a minister. I want to be a shepherd. And as soon as trouble comes, all of a sudden they say, where are the preachers? The preachers are gone. Come on. Sheep need a good shepherd. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And Trinity Church, you need Jesus in order that Jesus might guide you, in order that Jesus might help you. Jesus says the sheep know the good voice of a good shepherd. Amen? Because in trouble, the good shepherd gets in there and wrestles with it, whereas the bad shepherd, he flees. And when the shepherd flees, what happened to the flock? Oh, come on, y'all hear me. You hear me. You see, Trinity folk, if we're going to get to 300, we got to understand that all of us are equal. It's not that you're better than somebody else. It's the fact that you need Jesus just as much as that next person. Amen. And we all need a good shepherd. Then third, sheep need healing from the shepherd. Amen. Sheep need healing from the shepherd. Are you with me? I'm going to teach you something here. You see, when a sheep goes astray, amen, I'm going to use my son. He don't mind. Come here. Oh, there, come here. This is of my fold. This is, all right, now be careful. Now I'm an old man. None of them young folk just, oh, man, hell. I said, dude, man, I'm an old man. Amen. But this is what happens. Jesus says, and this is what happens, what happens when a sheep get away from the fold. Imagine this young man that left the fold, left the church. Church folk say this. This is what church folk do. What their mama and daddy do, that boy ain't living right for God. I knew he was, something was wrong with him. I knew that. The first time I met him, I bet you out there selling dope. That's what he's probably doing. He's probably gay. I don't know what his problem is, but something wrong with him. He ain't following the Lord. Something going on in that family. Y'all know, am I right? Come on, y'all. I mean, we be home talking about it. Going to the hospital talking about it. At somebody else's church. Did you hear about that preacher boy? Yeah, he was in church and he ain't nowhere. Boy, I think he's in prison somewhere. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You see, but when a shepherd sees one of his fold or his sheep a long way away, he goes and finds that sheep. And what he does is he begins to, now I can do this to my son, he begins to take the limbs of the sheep and massage the sheep limbs. Are you following me? He begins to say, and he looks at the sheep, and he begins to massage the legs of the sheep, and he tells the sheep, it's going to be all right. Are you with me? The shepherd takes the sheep and nurtures the sheep, and then the shepherd doesn't allow the sheep to walk on its own. I can't do this, but the shepherd then picks up the sheep and carries the sheep back to the other sheep. And the sheep that's been wounded out in the world, the shepherd stands with it and feeds it until it gets strong enough to walk on its own. Are you with me, church? You see, the shepherd never allows the sheep to walk back to the flock by itself. Why? It's wounded, it's tired, it's hungry, and it's vulnerable. Are you with me? But thank you, Prentice. But listen to this. But the shepherd does something else. If a sheep gets on the cleft of a rock, and it finds itself that it's not able to help, it's not able to move anywhere, the sheep doesn't know that it should climb its way off of the cliff. The sheep will stay at that point. yelping and crying and everything. And then finally, it got no energy left. The sheep collapsed because it's so tired. And that's when the shepherd, he sees the sheep down on the cleft, and he gets a rope, and he lowers the rope around the neck or around the front of that sheep, and he pulls the sheep off of that cleft. Are you with me? And the reason why the shepherd does that is because he knows that the sheep, if it does anything wrong, it's going to fall and kill itself. Are you with me? So the shepherd has to allow the sheep to get so tired of trying to do it on their own that they have to drop until they can't do it no more. And that's when the shepherd comes and he picks up that tired sheep and he pulls it up and he tells the sheep, I got you now. He begins to massage the legs of that sheep. He begins to tell that sheep, it's going to be all right. He takes that sheep in the breast of his arms and he takes it up to the other flock. And he tells the flock, take care of that sheep. And he feeds that sheep and he nurtures that sheep until that sheep gets strong again. I'm here to tell you, Trinity Church, you might be on the cleft of a rock. You might have people who have wandered away from the church. It's not time for you to talk about the folk that left the church. It's time that you get up out of your seat and go and find them who have been hurt, who have been wounded, who have been rejected, and you tell them it's going to be all right. And you sit down next to them and you tell them, I'm going to stay with you. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what Trinity people say. I just know that I know a good shepherd and he hears my voice and he's telling you it's time. It's time to get up and it's time for you to get whole and it's time for you to take the message of Jesus into the world. Are you with me? Sheep must realize they're nothing but sheep. And the second of all, sheep need a good shepherd. And sheep need healing from a shepherd. If we're going to get to 300, if we're going to get our finances where it needs to be, church, we got to get our heads right with God today. We, those of us who are here, Pastor Freeman, I got my head right. If you said that, your heart is in the wrong place. You cannot say that. You got to say, Pastor Freeman, I hear the shepherd's voice. I hear him telling me I need to go out those front doors and stop going out the back door. I need to go across the street. I need to go down the street. I need to go to the nursing home. I need to go to the places. I need to stand on State Street. I need to stand on Bond Street. I need to go downtown. I need to stand out in front of Hollywood and say, I tell you, you're not going to stand. You need to surround City Hall and tell the mayor we're not going to stop until we get what we want. Do you hear me, church? 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 I'm trying to tell you that it's time to get up, Trinity. It's time to stop talking about each other. It's time to start hating each other. It's time to stop talking about what folk live. I don't care if you live in O'Fallon. I don't care if you live in Fairview Heights. I don't care if you live in Belleville. I don't care if you live in St. Louis. I don't care if you live in Glen Carbon or Edwardsville or wherever you live. All I care about is, do you know him? I want to know, do you know Jesus? I want to know, do you need healing from my Jesus? I want to know, have the church hurt you? Come on, we'll stand with you. And we'll help you to become whole again. Are you with me, church? Because Jesus says he is a good shepherd. And he said the sheep know his voice. But he says a hired hand don't know. And a hired hand flees from the sheep. But Jesus says, I'm a good shepherd. Here's the question. What have you exchanged for Jesus? Jesus exchanged his life for you. Now, what have you exchanged for Jesus? What have you given up for Jesus? Well, Pastor Freeman, I give my time. Oh, yeah, that's great. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Freeman, I'm giving my service. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Freeman, I'm giving my money. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But God's going to turn to you and say, have you given me your heart? Jesus says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I can preach like Paul. I can sing like, you know, Luther Vandross and make all the ladies go, whoo, you know. You can do all those things. But he said, if you don't have the ability to love, you're a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Have you given your heart? Jesus, I take my heart, which is not pure, and I put my heart in your hands. And Jesus says, when you give me your heart, he said, that's when I will clean it and make it whole again and put it back in you. And so when you go back to work, folks be saying, what happened to you? You say, I met a man called Jesus. When you go back and look at your husband, you don't look at your husband the same way. You don't look at your wife the same way. You don't look at your children the same way. You don't look, you walk down the street different. People are going to be saying, what happened to you? And you say that I met a man called Jesus. You know, folk think you're crazy when you meet this man because you do things that you're not supposed to do. You give God your gifts first instead of thinking about yourself. You think about the person who is not at church, not the people that are in church. You think about the people who have been hurt by church, not the people that's been praised in church. You think about people who have been pushed out because they're on crack or because they had misfortunes in their life and because they had bad jobs or bad situations occur. Your heart changes. And God says that I will bless you when you have that changed heart. Have you exchanged your heart today? Stay with me, church. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, have you exchanged your heart today? It's about an exchange, amen? So today we put a challenge out to you that if your heart has not been exchanged, if your heart has not been exchanged, today is a day to make your heart right with God. If your heart has not been exchanged, it means you're still mad and mean, nasty, don't know how to love folk, then God says, simply say this. Say, Jesus, I so want to see your church move, and I so want to see your church grow. But Father, I get so frustrated when I see apathy. So, Father, I am presenting my heart to you today. Because I want to walk by faith and not by sight. Renew a right spirit within me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord some love. Can we do that? Oh, let's give the Lord some love. Amen. Let us prepare for our morning offering this morning. Amen. Let's prepare for our morning offering. God is a gracious God. Amen. I'm not going to turn Baptist on you this morning. Amen. I come out of old school Methodist church. How many of y'all know about the old school Methodist church? The gray hymn book. 1936 gray hymn book. I'm old school Methodist. Old school Methodists, thank God they don't do it no more. In the old school Methodist church, what they used to do is that they used to have a great big board outside of the church. Great big old board. And everybody's name would be listed on that board. And the communion stewards would sit right here when the offering is taken. And everybody had to have an envelope. And as you came to give your offering, they would call out and say, Reverend Robert K. Freeman, our pastor, is giving this day $2. And there'll be a gentleman outside on that wall, writing down my name, $2. The first time that happened to me was the last time. And I told myself, if I ever become a pastor, I will never have nobody do that to me.